Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
When changing, what a turnaround, huh? Up or what? These things have the feed bags on. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 17th and 18th. Well, compared to the past four and a half weeks, whatever, with that pretty much sustained southwest wind and freezing cold waters, I haven't seen flounder fishing that bad in well over a decade. It was just absolutely horrible. But picked up, man. We have a little more than a month left in the season, so get to it. There's still plenty of keepers in the bays. A lot of fish out front on the wrecks. Go for the rocks and the rubble. Rocks and the rubble and the structures. That's where the bigger keeper fluke are right now. Still has plenty of bass in the back. More of a first light thing. That sun pops up over full up. They're gone. And then late dusk into evening, plenty of bass around, some weak fish still around. Don't forget Tog, one fish limit up there, seeing some down at Avalon Jetty. Sheep's head, bah, they are in some, seen some, not monsters, but some big ones caught. South Jersey Barnacolite also down there, Avalon area, and farther down, stuff going on southwest Jersey, those snakeheads. Great fish, man. Great fish. That's it's again an invasive. You're supposed to kill it, but that is it. Coming up in our next segment, man, we have a monstrous channel cat stocking these past 2 weeks. Joining us on the line will be Craig Lemon, Hackettstown Hatchery Superintendent. Catzillas, as I call them, big cats. But before we get to that, shout outs to Monica Carruthers. Your hot crab dip is the greatest on the planet, young lady. There is no peer to what we had here, man. Unbelievable. Thank you so much. That was incredible. And you will be on. You will be on. We have our BQ and Me show coming up. Yeah, barbecue, all about getting that grill on, getting those suds on. We're going to try to track you down again with that. Is incredible. And also to Anne Marie in a dark green Jeep, looking great in that dark green Rack and Fin shirt, young lady. Keep it going. Man, and thanks for listening as well. Okay, man, we coming back with Craig Lemon. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Kitty time, Catzilla time, Super Cats. These will bend your rod. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Get on board.
The water is open. It's time to go boating and fishing and leave stress in our wake. Feel the wind as we ride and a fish on the line. Reel in our first catch and feel the sun at our backs. It's get out on the water season. It's time to get on board. Find out where to get on board near you. Visit Take Me Fishing and Discover Boating to learn more. And please recreate responsibly.
Get on board. Get on board.
This is South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Well, we're going to be switching gears a little bit, still in fishing enough salt water right now, because we have some great news these past 2 weeks. On the freshwater fishing front, on various, all three sections of the state, north, central, and south, south, central, and north, DEP's Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, the Hackettstown Hatchery up there in Warren County, just unloaded, unprecedented, unloaded over 300 channel cats in select waters. If my notes are correct, these fish are ranging anywhere from 4 to 16 pounds, with the bulk in the 12 to 14 pound range. This is unprecedented. Many of the waters, more than half of the waters, aren't on their channel cat stocking list, which we'll get into later, which is just they blanket the state with this great game fish. But in small waters, as small as an acre, I mean, and in suburban and urban areas where you're going to get people fishing when the news breaks on these fish are huge. We had some videos sent to us. We had some stills taken. And let me tell you something. This is unprecedented. I'm that discombobulated about my channel cats. Join us on the line right now. Very longtime friend, good friend of Rack and Fin Radio, Craig Lemon, superintendent of the Hackettstown Hatchery, like I said, up there in Oxford, in Warren County, in Hackettstown, rather, in Warren County. Sorry, Craig, you know me. You see how I get. We talk channel cats. How you doing, man?
We're good. We're good. Had a couple good weeks. Like you said, the weather's been nice this week for working outdoors. It's not 90. It's been 80. So the fish are happy. We're happy.
Greg, hopefully the anglers
will be happy.
Let me tell you, this weekend, this Saturday, the rest of the summer, these fish are monsters. And I love my stripers. You guys get excited catching like 4 or 5 pound stripers on light tackle. You get one of these things on light tackle, it'll rip your face off. But Craig, before we get to this unprecedented program, again, some of these fish you said were in a 5-year-old class. You have a very aggressive channel cat stocking schedule emanating there out of the Hackettstown Hatchery. For example, last year you had 12,695 6-inch channels stocked in 10 waters, 10,530, which is the legal limit at 12 inches in 67 waters. Listen, 12 inches immediately harvest. So, man, when they're coming out of Hackettstown, out of water, they are like chicken breast down, mother. And then channel cats 20 inches plus, 383 in 5 waters. Well, damn it. Lemon, you have 23 waters with 300 of these things, and they're freaking I call them catzillas. The press office like that. By the way, you call them super cats. Craig, getting this program together at 5, I mean, you do this every, 3 years with the 3-0 cats? Coming up with these these monsters, you sit down and talk that, how'd you get this going?
Feed. Gotta keep them feeding, yeah. Now they're beautiful. We put them on the measuring board there, and they were 29 to 31 inches, probably around 12-pound average, like you said. But there were fish that were 18. Put a couple out already, and we've heard of some rods already being ripped out of docks and, being lost already. So, yeah, fish breaking line.
I saw some of the photos. A lot of these captions had heads the size of soccer balls. They were monsters.
Those males have huge flat heads on them.
Before we get into the other waters, in the Rakovin radio listening area, some of the waters are right here, 15 minutes at the most from the Rakovin radio studios here at Town Square. Patriot Lake in Atlantic County, have Edgewater Pond in Burlington, Gloucester City Pond, Park Pond in Gloucester County, Homedale Park Pond up there in Monmouth, Laurel Acres Park Pond in Burlington, Northern Community Park Pond, also in Burlington County, Oak Pond in Camden. That's right behind the Southern Region Office. That's a trout hotspot, too, when they stocked that. A lot of bass in there. And also Tippins Pond in Camden County and Riverview Beach Pond in Salem. So Central and South Jersey, very well represented. But, Craig, picking these waters, the planning that went into one, stocking these 5-year-old fish, these waters, again, 1-2 acres. The impetus behind that, what is the goal?
Yeah, that's a Chris Smith question for him, but it's just the goal is to make them accessible to people instead of dump them into something that's 30, 40 acres and they could live the rest of their lives and nobody see them.
Right.
You know, like you said, some of those water bodies are crystal clear. You know, you might be able to see them out there cruising.
We already saw some over there at listen, get to, you see Tom P there. I'll have my portable grill and everything. You know me. You know I prickle this. But Craig, again, raising these fish, pellet, do they go on shiner fathead feed? How do you get them so big?
All pellets? Yeah, twice a day, all pellets. Just keep on doing it.
Greg, they're getting.
And they feed just like, they feed like stripers on bunker or blues on bunker. They're on the surface, when the water temperature hits 70 and, maybe mid-May and then all the way till, November 1st, mm-hmm. They're up on the surface eating,
And Craig, these are 3 to 5-year-old fish. What's the approximate growth rate? Because the water quality up there is second to none. So they have optimal habitat. Yeah. Rapid growers?
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. The growing season's probably May 1st to November 1st. So, I mean, now down south, they obviously grow, they have a lot longer growing period. But these fish just came off spawning and, finished spawning around 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're just packing the weight on. They're like giant vacuum cleaners on the surface. We throw a floating pellet, but the pellets are floating out there. Right. So they just open their mouths and swim.
He said that for my benefit, people. He's seen me in a pizzeria. Well, Craig, listen, I saw some of the photos of netting. This isn't like, doing a dip net, getting the 10, 11, 12 inches out. This was a massive group effort getting these things in a net, dragging those things up. How long did that take to get them together?
No, it's long. Because the pond we harvested them out of had, you know, 5,000 bullheads and 3,000 bluegills and 1,000 largemouths. So to try to get them all, you know, separated was quite a headache. But it's all right. It's 5 years. You know, that pond had a lot of fish going for the last 5 years. So we used a big excavator with a Mississippi catfish basket on it to lift them out and put them in the truck. Because it's, you know, 12 pounds each. You know, you can only put about three in a net. So
I know. Yeah. Craig, we're speaking with Craig Lemon, hatchery superintendent up there at Hackettstown Freshwater Cool Water Programs. The past 2 weeks, the unprecedented stocking, 300 catzillas, a.k.a. super cats, up to 16 pounds stocked in 22, 23 waters statewide. Just mentioned ones here in central and southern New Jersey, which are graced. Now, listen, they're not loaded. For example, figure this average. Just hitting Patriot, I call it Patriot Pond right there. Right there by the Atlanta County Library, right there, Jimmy Leeds Road. Yeah, you know, that right there, yeah. You're talking 2 acres. We're going to talk about the bass a little later on in this segment, people that are going in. But 11 cats in 2 acres, up to 15, 16 pounds. Craig, that's a lot of meat in a small area.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be tough to get in. They're, you know, you get a little kid with a little pole, and it's going to be an all-out battle. That's for sure. Battle of a lifetime.
Greg, yeah. Are these all considered these fish spent breeders? I mean, do they still have potential, or is this the new age classes coming up, more viable males, females? What's the dealio on this?
No, we hated to get rid of them because they spawned like crazy this year. But, you know, it 5 year, 6 year old fish compared to a 3 year old, you know, by the pounds of the fish is the pounds of the eggs. So we do get huge egg masses out of them, but I think, you know, it's just time.
Again,
production in that pond starts going down because those huge fish are eating all the bluegills in the back.
I was just going to say, they're in the same pond, man. So. Well, Craig, listen, gathering the egg masses out to stop, you know, they go inside intensive culture, then outside extensive culture. Explain that process. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, this catfish program has changed so much. I've been here 37 years, and it's undergone a ton of changes. We're at the best, you know, we're at the best place right now that we've ever been. We, mm-hmm. you know, we've got our act together. We're stocking multiple sizes depending on the water bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another 2 weeks we'll have 12,000 of those 12 to 14s going out too. And you know, you go on NJ Fishing or any of those websites now, and you know, you can see there's lots of catfish available. You know, so.
And Craig, I love the bass fishing, and then the snakeheads are going wild. I love them. And I like my, the flatheads and the blues invasives. Yes, over there in the Delaware and some of the tribs, great fish. But to me, the channel cat is every man, every woman, every youngster's fish. You can catch them. You have them just about everywhere. Yeah. They're fun to catch. Listen, the minimum length is 12 inches, a 5 fish limit, and they're in so many places, Craig, and it's not as listen, it could be as, like fly fishing, it could be as esoteric or as simple as you want to make it. Like carp fishing, for example. See these guys out there with the pods and the 16-foot rods and the meters and the whole bit. Or you can throw out some corn. You know what I mean? It could be as simple as that.
Yeah.
But they're just fun to catch, and they're really good eating, especially the fresh stockies, man. Craig, I'll tell you, that KFC's chicken fingers got nothing. Chick-fil-A's got nothing on these channel cats.
You can go to Irvington Park Pond, or some of your faves. Orange Park Pond,
Branchbrook Park Lake. And down here, I'm just enamored with Patriot and some of the waters down through South Jersey that are on a channel cat stocking list. We do well. And the thing is, what I hope this program does gets more people interested in these big fish, parlay into smaller fish when there's more out there, because they're relatively, well, listen, some of the big ones, they can be really picky, choosy, as much as they eat like I do, but you'll go out there and you'll catch fish. You'll just catch fish.
Right. That's what you and I are all about. Like, I don't want to go fishing unless I catch fish.
That's it. Craig, response that you have seen over, the, say, the past 10, 12 years in the Channel Cat program, getting more and more support from an angler and bureau standpoint?
Yeah, it's like you said, it's gotten huge now. I mean, it's not bass and it's not trout, but it's for other people. You know, there's something for everybody in the Garden State. You know that.
Greg, is this?
We just finished stocking 50,000 walleye fingerlings. We're going to finish up next week stocking 50,000 hybrid striped bass fingerlings. I mean, you've got everything here. Why are you going to go to Canada, you know, or whatever, Minnesota?
I get this. Hey, Tom P, we're gonna do a road trip up to the Finger Lakes or Big Pike. I said, everybody likes a road trip. We're gonna go all the way the hell up there. You got them right here.
Yeah, go to Patterson.
Right. Did you see some of the pike coming from those Great Falls area? I just hope. Yeah. I know they're trying, and it's been attempted, and we're gonna keep trying. Because of the way the habitat is here and the access to the Delaware, et cetera. I'd love to see an Osaka program really established down here. I know the DOD has some muskies in it. Cooper River has some muskies in it, tigers and pure strains.
Yeah, we were at Cooper River this week because we had channel cat runs crossing the river, and we had some surplus muskies here, so we loaded them up on the catfish truck and dumped another 2,000 fingerlings in Cooper River muskies.
And you only hear this on Rack and Fin Radio, man. You find everything out. Craig, so, I mean, not putting you on the spot here, is the Channel Cat program pretty much at its capacity insofar the water's being sucked, the number of fish you're raising? I mean, everything copacetic. Everyone seems to be satisfied so far. I'll tell you, you put a pumpkin-sized cherry on a Channel Cat Sunday with this past stocking, dude. I mean, you got it.
We're never at capacity. There's always a chance to do better. You know that.
Yeah,
that's what life's all about. You got to do better every day.
We're speaking with Craig Lemon, Hackettstown Hatchery Superintendent. Past 2 weeks, Monster Catzilla Channel Cat Stocking, a.k.a. Super Cats. So, Craig, the Super Cat program, is what, every 2 or 3 years? How does that work?
Yeah, 3-4, just because you got to rotate the brood stock, mm-hmm. So, keep everybody fresh and happy. But we're raising some bigger fish here for down the road here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it can be a little bit, maybe, I don't know if they'll all be 12-pounders or 18-pounders, but, we're working on stocking some bigger, 18, 20-inch fish. But a lot of these fish can grow.
Yeah.
Like you look at Bruce Run, Lake of Bakong, places like that where we're stocking 6-inch fish, and people are catching piles of bigger fish. So, they'll grow out there. Yeah.
And Craig, especially down here, I have an article, technically I'm not going to mention it, coming out. I'll give the name. It's called Coastal Kitties. The channel cat fishing opportunities in these coastal and slightly inland waters where you do have gizzard shad coming in. You do have loads of golden shiners. I mean, Craig, they like Deal Lake, Tackanassee Lake, right over here in Absecon. Right over here in Absecon, Heritage Park Pond, a.k.a. the Absecon Pit. So I'm caught out of there 9 pounds. It was about eight pounds. Right behind it. We have the growth. It's just every man, woman, and kid's fish. And it's a great program. Well, Craig, I don't know what you do for an encore, dude. I don't know what you do for an encore.
Salmon.
Just do me a favor, just to avail us of the freshwater opportunities in New Jersey. You have, emanating out of Hackettstown, you have the landlocked, a.k.a. Atlantic salmon. You have the walleyes. You have the hybrid stripers. You have the pure strain. You have the tiger muskies. You have the channel cats. You have the largemouth. Jesus, you have the smallmouth. You have the crappies. You have the bluegills. You have the bullheads. I'm running out of fish to name here, man.
We have a little of everything. Yeah.
Listen, when you buy the freshwater license, you have a cornucopia of opportunities statewide, especially in the central and southlands. It's a bonus. Craig, is there going to be information out soon on these? If it's not out already, about this stocking?
It'd be Friday or Monday. Early next week. Photos and all the water bodies will be out. We were just trying to get all the fish stocked before we didn't want to be posting stuff if we didn't get it stocked. So.
And by the way, that crew that was at Patriot Lake, boy, they were catfish wranglers, man.
Oh, yeah, they're top-notch.
They are top-notch. Yep. Listen, hit Patriot and hit Oak Pond right away. Right away, Patriot, Oak Pond. Get your ass kicked with these Catzillas. Craig, thanks much. Yep. You have a great remainder of the... by the way, bear and bow season coming up pretty soon, brother.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Cameras are lit up.
They are.
Cameras are beeping all night long, keeping me awake.
I saw some photos, Lem, that you had with these velvet bucks that I thought I said, is this friggin' Iowa or is this New Jersey?
Yeah,
I mean, you got some bruisers there.
It seems like the deer herd's coming back. There's does and fawns everywhere you look.
Yeah.
I know hopefully those counties down by you do a little.
Yeah, they, you know, that, that,
I know them.
Yeah.
The northern way. The
HD took its toll. We lost in several DMZs, and I had Jody Powers on about this. Lost some zones for the permit seasons, but so hopefully they will recover. It's time.
I think
time
we, to, we lucked out a little bit that Debbie went to the west and didn't drive all the midges to the north.
Oof,
you know, we lucked out last weekend with that hurricane or tropical storm. So maybe we'll miss out on the midges this year, and the EHD won't.
Yeah, Spears. Yeah, it's already. It's already halfway through the perilous season for that. Craig Lemon, right. Congratulations on a job. Listeners, Catzillas are on the loose. Get to the waters, Craig. You take care of best of that crew there, and just keep all kicking right. Giant kitty ass, man.
There you go. Thanks, Tom.
See you later.
Have a good one. Yeah.
What a program. So these says, Mary, Mother of God, look at this. I'm already calculating. Let's see. Got the new fish bites. I just bought the new fish bites catfish baits. Woo. Have my Oscar Mayer cheese wieners. Good. Ooh. But wow. Think about it. In these ponds where these things were raised, they were eating sunnies and bass. What about a live sunny or a big-ass mini? Ooh. Woo. Big fish to be had on the freshwater scene. Hey, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Catzilla's rule.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Bullet Points.
I'm Evan Brown. Not a resident of New York City? You may get the chance to carry a gun on your person anyway. It's a big, big change for the Big Apple, which for decades had laws against allowing non-residents of the city to hold carry permits. The city has separate rules from the rest of New York State, which also aren't very permissive. But the Gun Owners of America had filed suit saying the city's barring non-residents from carry permits for protection was unconstitutional. And now the city's enacted an emergency rule allowing those who don't live there to apply for that permit. The rule change came just a few days ago, so it's not yet known if the city has actually granted a permit to an out-of-towner. Gun Owners of America say they'll be keeping their eye on it. Neither New York City nor the state currently allows for any kind of carry permit reciprocity with any other state. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. Mike Huckabee says he's tuning in like millions of Americans. Newsmax is now the fastest-growing cable news channel in America. Watch Newsmax on cable, streaming, or on the free Newsmax app. And Newsmax has announced it plans to go IPO soon. For a limited time, eligible investors can even buy preferred shares in Newsmax, and they come with a 7% dividend. Get the details about Newsmax's planned IPO and shares. Just go to NewsmaxInvest.com. Forbes says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. Get Newsmax shares. You can even buy shares with a credit card at NewsmaxInvest.com. Whenever making an investment decision, you should consult your attorney or financial advisor. And investors are responsible for conducting their own due diligence regarding investments and for all tax and other risks and obligations. Don't miss out. Find out more at NewsmaxInvest.com today.
Is your old ride on life support?
Clear.
If your ride's on its last leg, you need to bring it to MetLat Mitsubishi because AJ, the trade man, wants it. No matter the year, make, miles, or condition, even if you owe up to 10 grand more than you think it's worth, AJ, the trade man, wants to get you released from your loan or lease. Even if you owe up to 10 grand more than you think it's worth, then make the switch into a brand new MetLat Mitsubishi. If you have a job and you need a new car, but you don't have the money for down payment,
get to MetLat Mitsubishi.
Zero down, zero payments for 90 days, and 0% financing for 48 months on Outlander, 1.9% on Eclipse.
Simply, that's Flat Mitsubishi.
Rate qualifications exist with approved credit. 1666 for 1,000 finance on FinStock 2024 Mitsubishi Outlanders. Not all will qualify. Go to MattBlackMitsubishi.com for complete details or call 844-946-2315. Price includes all costs to be paid by consumer, except for licensing, registration, and taxes. Expires 9/4/24. Matt Platt Mitsubishi in the heart of Glassboro for 30 years.
Lower your payments today during the summer sales event at iloveatlantic.com. Drive a brand new Jeep from $269 a month. New Wranglers, Grand Cherokees, Compasses, or Ram pickups from $269 a month at iloveatlantic.com. Choose from over 450 vehicles available, plus a huge selection of certified pre-owned vehicles that come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Brand new Jeeps from $269 a month. Let them show you why their customers are saying, "I love Atlantic.com." Lower your payments today during the summer sales event at iloveatlantic.com. iloveatlantic.com. 2024 Compass, four-cylinder auto, $269 a month, 7,500-mile closed-end lease, 39 months with $2,963 due at inception. Total payments $12,491. MSRP $35,340. VIN number RT152105. Residual $19,083. Tax and tax extra. Not valid with trade-in. $599 dot fee. Ends 8/31/24.
Are you already doing digital advertising sales? Do you know all about targeted display, social media marketing, the latest in SEM and behavioral targeting? If so, you could be Townsquare Media's new advertising sales star. We're looking for passionate sales professionals to join our media and digital advertising team. If consulting and connecting local businesses with their ideal audience for growth sounds exciting, let's have a conversation about you working for Townsquare Media. The right career choice is all about timing, and right now is the perfect time to join our team as an advertising account executive. Our comp package is amazing with unlimited earning potential, including base salary, 401k match, and more, along with world-class training and plenty of room for growth. If you're competitive, driven, and have the ability to communicate great ideas, we want to hear from you. Reach out to Michael Rubel, Market President, at 609-910-5249 or visit careers.townsquaremedia.com. Townsquare Media is an equal opportunity employer.
There he is. It's Agent 00 Chicken. Every move he makes, every chance he takes, is to get to Royal Farms Chicken Palooza. And nothing will stop him from getting there. Because he knows that right now, he can get a three-piece world-famous chicken box, white or dark meat, or chicken tenders for just $8, with a portion of each chicken box sale donated to a local charity. Plus, he can register to win world-famous chicken for a year. That's three pieces of hot, juicy, moist, and tender Royal Farms world-famous chicken for just $8. Come to Royal Farms Chicken Palooza. It's a real thriller, but it's only for a limited time. Real fresh, real fast. Royal Farms. No purchase necessary to enter or win. And September 2nd, 2024. Chicken for a year prize to be awarded as eight $100 Royal Farms gift cards. For details and official rules, visit royalfarms.com/chicken-palooza. Void where prohibited. Sponsored by Royal Farms.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 17th and 18th. No apologies. No apologies for getting carried away with that cafe stocking the past 2 weeks. Just a reminder, as I said earlier, the Digest, the 2024-25 Hunting and Trapping Digest is out. Hunting seasons are rapidly approaching. Don't forget September 14th to the 27th, early bow season in select wildlife management zones. Just watch out for the antler point restriction zones. Be mindful of those and the harvest figures. That's going to be on page 34 of the Digest. It should be, tell you Saturday, it should have been out. Most agents should have them either yesterday or earlier this week. It's going to be happening. Don't forget, too, we have, coming up to it, a favorite part of mine for that part of late October. We have the squirrels and the rabbits, those starting in September as well. October 26th and 28th, again, from the 28th to November 2nd, is going to be the fall turkey season. And we have, you can check all that information out on page 50. Besides the fall turkey season, all the spring turkey information is out. Good year last year. The numbers seemed pretty steady, but I was fascinated with coming in to the studio, coming down here for some meetings, whatever, the other day. Right there. I said, whoa, there's a hen. Six poults. Six on the smaller side. They should be, if they were born early, they'd be like half the size of the hen already, if not even bigger. This was obviously a late bruise. I have to report that. Get it in to DEP's Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Wildlife Management. They have a program going on. It's the Turkey Brood Survey. It's online. Join us online right now is Jimmy Sloan. He is, I'll tell you, just an amazing guy. He is the head of the Upland Game Bird Project for DEP, Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Wildlife Management. He's going to tell us about this broodstock, the importance of this survey, getting a handle on populations north, central, and south, and also a research program, a hen research program. It's a multi-state effort going on. Jimmy, sorry to keep you waiting along there, bud, but I'll tell you this, seeing that hen and those six poles the other day had me fired up.
Yeah, that's invaluable to us. Every year we run this wild turkey brood sighting survey. Mm-hmm. In past years, it was paper form. Normally only DEP employees did it. A couple of years ago, we went to the public with it. It's on our website. It's really easy to get to. You go to NewJerseyFishAndWildlife.com, click on wildlife, click on game species, click on wild turkey, right at the top of the page.
Listen,
it's super easy. You drop a pin, and we get all the information we need.
Again, he said that for my benefit because Jimmy and everyone knows how cyberly declined I am, but it's easy to do. I did it. So, Jimmy, and this program goes through the 15th, correct?
Yeah, it runs
to September 15th. September 15th, right, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So we have another month of taking observations, and after that, we send it to the national database, and they come back with our pulse per hen and pulse per brood, which is huge for known recruitment for next year.
Jim, I was kind of surprised that, I guess it was, would you say it was a late brew that these poults were on the smaller side for this time of year, no?
Yeah, if I had to guess, she probably had a nest failure early in the year, and this would probably be her second nest attempt.
Jimmy, nest failures, predation, weather, the disease, if there is any, habitat loss, too? What all of a sudden disruption, limiting factors, what are they on for the turkeys here?
Well, we could all take a bunch of guesses, but that's actually why we're doing this wild turkey hen research. It's one of the questions is to find out, you know, what are the limitations? What's the hen survival? What's the nesting success? Poult survival, you know? What's the impact of weather, predation, disease on these hens?
Mm-hmm. Now, Jim, what are the states involved with this?
So there is Pennsylvania, Maryland, Ohio, West Virginia, and New Jersey. Currently, to date, we have 855 hens spread across those five states.
Okay. Jim, not for anything. And I mean, I'm the eternal optimist in most instances. But you know where I'm from originally, way up north to happily relocated down here in 89. And watching the turkey hunting, turkey populations getting bigger and better here in the central and southern regions, especially northern Cape May, Cumberland, Salem, whatever. And watching what way back in the early 80s when it started, the traditional, for lack of a better term, listen, traditional wild turkey hunting grounds of the Sussex, the Morris, and the Warren counties really, really having a hard time these past few years. I mean, that's sad to see. And you don't have a grasp on it yet as to the causes, correct? So hence the research you're doing.
Yeah, Tom. And it's not going unnoticed what's going on with our flocks up in North Jersey. So the study itself has two study areas, one's north and one's south. And the birds that we put backpack telemetry units on this year in North Jersey, I mean, they were in Sussex and Warren County. One of them was in Hardyston. Hardyston and Sandyston was ground zero for turkey recovery in the state.
Right.
And just preliminary early data is showing us that the North Jersey birds are doing really poor.
Oh. Yeah, when I speak to people out there when I'm going through there on occasion now, and again, Jimmy Sloan fingers seem to point everywhere. But like you said, it's a pardon the pun, it's just basically a shot in the dark as to what the cause or causes can be. And Jimmy, you mentioned to me, which I found kind of puzzling. I've been around a long time, but you told me once that Tom P, sometimes hens just don't nest. There are a certain percentage that just don't nest. Is that, I guess that's common? Are you finding it more happening more now?
Well, the example I like to use is if you had five hens, all right, and out of those five hens, four of those hens just were not good mothers. They couldn't carry out a successful brood. But that one hen every year, she just keeps delivering, you know, four or five poults, make it to adulthood. That's why it's so important that, you know, we keep our hens around and our good hens we really need to keep alive.
But again, yeah, like I said, bad mothers, they just like abandon the nest or something. Or again, shout out to Joey Lissa and his crew there with the nest raider problem. I mean, if the nest is destroyed, she may not just lose interest, I guess, in breeding again, because the gobblers, man, they're going till the end of May. So
yeah. There's a bunch of things that can make a hen abandon her nest. It's either predation. She can be pushed off it, too much pressure. Some of these hens that are poor mothers, they just have real bad nest site selection where they put them.
Well, I thought they would, you know, hey, man, you're a piece of, like, they moms would know where to lay their nest. Is that because these aren't pen birds? These are wild. I find that puzzling. It's not like a hen pheasant that's making a go of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's amazing. Once you put a GPS transmitter on these birds to see what they do, it's really opening my eyes, and it's probably going to make me a better turkey hunter here shortly.
Okay, join us on the line is Jimmy Sloan, a principal wildlife biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Wildlife Management. Jimmy is also the project leader, Upland Game Birds. So, Jimmy, on the overall now, North is just left pretty much, not putting you on the spot here, Sloan, but pretty much left to its own devices for now, just as is?
Well, I mean, North Jersey right now, and remember, this is very early in the study. This is a 3-year study. We're on year one. We originally trapped and put transmitters on 26 hens up in North Jersey. As of right now, we only have 11 birds alive in North Jersey out of that 26. And now, as
that's more than 50% mortality.
It's 58%, yeah. So in comparison, South Jersey, we did 25 birds down in South Jersey, and 19 are still alive. So we only had 27% mortality down there. Now, again, this is super early in the research. And a big thing that's going to come out of this research is the mean incubation period. That is what our season dates are set on. And that is to stop, you know, you want at least half of your hens on nest and undisturbed. Mm-hmm. That's why we have that season date. So something that could come out of this study is, when is that mean incubation period? Is our turkey season too early? Is it too late? Are we disturbing these hens when they're on the nest? So that's just another thing to keep in the back of your mind that we should get out of this study.
Okay, Jimmy, we're up against a hard break. Can you hold in for another segment, please? You there?
Yeah,
hang on for another segment. Tom P, I have Jimmy Sloan on, DEP Fish and Wildlife. So, turkey, man, I'm getting bummed here. grab that Red Bull. Be right back with Jimmy Sloan.
People all over the Jersey Shore have found the easiest way to stay connected to South Jersey's talk station. It's the WPG Talk Radio app. Read free, unlimited South Jersey news. Listen to your favorite talk shows. Send us breaking news tips and more. The WPG Talk Radio app is powered by Smokers Haven. You'll find the finest selection of cigars at any of their 5 locations. Stop in and let them help you find the perfect cigar to pair with your life. SmokersHavenNJ.com.
Fox News, I'm Ted Lindner. Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance making a campaign stop in Milwaukee, Wisconsin Friday, taking aim at the Harris-Walz ticket after the VP picked the Minnesota governor as a running mate. He's linking them to the 2020 protests and riots over the police killing of George Floyd.
This is a guy who actively encouraged rioters to burn down Minneapolis during the summer of 2020. It's the biggest city in his country. And then, of course, his running mate, Kamala Harris, was offering to bail those rioters out of prison.
Harris has been running on her background as a prosecutor and has pledged to support law enforcement if elected. And Hurricane Ernesto weakening as it closes in on Bermuda, downgraded to a Category 1 storm, but still threatening the British Island territory with powerful winds, dangerous storm surge, and potentially deadly flooding. The eye of the storm now about 55 miles southwest of Bermuda with 90-mile-an-hour winds. America's listening to Fox News.
your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. We have a high rip current risk in effect through Sunday evening. For today, mainly cloudy and not as hot with a high of 83. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies and humid with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm in the area, low 70. For tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, and humid with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm, high 83. Tomorrow night, overcast with showers and thunderstorms, low 70. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, we're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of August 17th and 18th. We're on the line with Jimmy Sloan. He's the principal biologist and project leader, Upland Game Birds. We're talking about turkeys. Well, Jimmy, from what I understand, recommendations, the Fish and Game Council for the upcoming game code for, is turkey hunting in New Jersey in peril or anything like that? Or are there going to be more restrictions? What's the dealio?
Well, we've been pretty negative for the first part of this little talk. So let's get on to the positives. The Fish and Game Council, Frank Virgilio and the Game Committee really listened to the sportsmen, and they recommended to allow 4, 10, and 28 gauge for turkeys. They're going to make it mandatory that you use a TSS shot for those gauges.
Oh, yeah.
And they also allowed us to go smaller with the shot size diameter, which anybody who uses TSS knows, you know, when you get in those 8, 9, 10s, you know, that's the rounds you really want to use.
Speaking of which, shout out to my lovely Dee Marie recuperating at home who won a 410 at Joey Lissa and his crew out there at their big fur taker thing. It was last February. First thing she said, when are we going to be able to hunt turkeys with this? I said, it may be coming up, man. She can't wait. Jimmy, that gun pattern that came with 5 choke tubes, that thing is badass with those loads.
It's a beautiful thing how technology has came that we can actually take a turkey with a 410. And, I mean, NWTF was huge in getting this through.
And so, listen, we're not talking just 10, 15 yards out. I mean, this thing has some reach. And, Jimmy, I always thought that little 3/4 ounce load in a 28-gauge, number 6-shot, 4-shot, whatever, could drop a turkey. But, hey, increments, listen, progress comes slow in increments. And this is a big plus on that, Sloan.
Yeah. It's just going to open up a whole new opportunity and a new type of hunting. And I can't wait to use my 410 next 2 springs from now.
That's going to be, it's on the cycle. So now that is, you were the voice of doom in the last segment, Sloan. I hate to tell you, but yeah, reality is what reality is. So on the overall, though, the central and southern flocks populations look steady.
Yeah, they're stable. They really are stable. You know, South Jersey, back in the early 2000s, it was the heyday. There was turkeys around every bush. But now they're reaching carrying capacity, and they're staying stable there. Central Jersey, we're getting huge pockets of birds. North Jersey is struggling. It is, which leads me to another council recommendation, was to close the fall turkey hunting season. It's a very small harvest. It's usually around 100 birds.
Right.
But got to remember, we, you know, Bob Erickson, Joe Garris, they restocked New Jersey with 20-some turkeys. So, I mean, every hen counts. A dead hen cannot lay eggs. We get no productivity off of her. Mm-hmm. And the council, I think, made a really wise decision in watching our resource.
Jimmy, here's he's back to the voice of doom again. I love this guy. He's back to the voice of doom again. Get my fall turkey permit every year. Over the years, got one here, one there. Not hunting them specifically on purpose, but in conjunction with squirrel hunting or whatever. But here's my take on that, Sloan, is that once it's gone, you get it back, especially in hunting it. Once it's gone, you get it back. It's going to take years and years and years so we find out what it is that gets a population back up to where it is going to be improving. Or, again, like you said, it was a minimal harvest. You got automobile, you know, vehicles, you have predation. Will that, I guess, like you said, dead hen lays no eggs. So I'm with you on that, Jimmy. My thing is being able to get that fall season back because it's a lot of fun. It's just another opportunity out there where I don't see it's impacting the resource that much, except in that, maybe in that north zone, that northern portion of the state. So we're, A split? Is that possible? Have a fall season central and south? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's something that we did think of. And, you know, nobody trusts the government. They take it away from you, and you're never getting it back.
Yeah, yeah.
When harvest does hit a certain level per square mile of usable habitat for turkeys, we can definitely come back around and opening a fall season again. We didn't have a ton of participation in it. I mean, Pennsylvania, they live and breathe that fall turkey hunt season.
You ain't lying, boy. We got run over in the woods up there by the Poconos. Well, that's like troops.
Yeah, we don't have that deep, rich tradition here in the state. A lot of the turkeys that were being taken were incidental, you know, to deer hunting.
Yeah.
It happens to fall during, you know, the rut. And it was just opportunistic. And like I said before, these hens, once they're dead, they can't lay eggs.
Yeah.
If we want, you know, turkeys to be around for the next 50 years, we really need to be mindful of our season structure and our regulations around them.
I'm hearing through the headphones. Look at the long road, Tom P. Look at the big picture. So you said there's not that many people. Again, how many permits were sold? Not that many people partake. So will it be missed in the long run? When you think of the long run, I'm telling you, I'm not putting you on the spot. Yeah, I love to say it. I'm in that put you on the spot mode, or not put you on the spot mode mood today. But it's possible that it could come back. But Jim, real fast, explain one more time. What will it take? It's no more, no fall turkeys. Okay, it's understood. It's gone. Boom. 3-4 years from now, what will it take to maybe initiate it again?
Well, we'll have to figure out what that threshold is for spring harvest, which is our gobblers, which is still a good indication of turkey population and health.
Mm-hmm.
From the spring harvest, we'll figure out how many birds per square mile of usable space meets that threshold that we think we have a healthy enough population to open up a fall season, and then we'll go through that process.
Jim, back to let's jump to the spring again. I know I'm all over the map, but it's turkeys. It's hunting season's coming. I'm already rubbing my head on parking meters or fire hunts, whatever. I'm really going nuts here. But spring season, gobblers, south and central Jersey, but more south and central, north. But I'm seeing what's alarming to me, Sloan, is, and my travels through south, through Cumberland, through Salem, Atlantic, Burlington, especially Burlington, I'm seeing more and more pad sites, housing developments, things like that going up. Is this, I mean, maybe I should put a request to talk to someone from lands manager or something. Will we be able to get more land so we're not losing more and more and more habitat, especially breeding habitat? It's scary. Friggin' scary, Sloan. All of a sudden, it's one. I said, whoa, 60 acres, 78, gone. And that's just a drop in the bucket compared to what's happening. And I don't know, Jimmy, that is the most alarming thing. Shout out to Lou Gambale here. I remember when he was on Rakovin, you know, from the Wild Turkey Federation. Save the habitat, save the hunt. No habitat, you ain't hunting, man.
Yeah, welcome to New Jersey. If it's flat, it's either farmed or built on. Habitat fragmentation is a huge part of this. You know, but where there is good habitat, there is a bunch of birds. And even when there's not that good a habitat, but there's a ton of bird feeders, there's a ton of birds. So, I mean, these birds are highly adaptable. We have them in our 55 or older communities as a nuisance.
I was just going to ask you that about, Jimmy. What about these suburban suburban birds that chase the postal carriers? You trap them, and where do they go?
So we trap and transfer birds. And believe it or not, most of the birds we trap go north. A lot of our problems, Tom's River, all the way down to Millville. Any 55 or older community, if there's 20 bird feeders, you got a turkey problem.
And even though you're moving, before I let you go, Jim, we're up against a heartbreaker. Again, how many birds, like last year, did you relocate up north?
Man, that is an awful question. It's going to make me look awful at my job. But
don't worry. Okay, forget that. Okay, let me ask you this. Is it making a positive impact pumping these birds back up there? Because you're not seeing, or are you seeing any net gain results from it? It's been going on for years.
Yeah, no, not really. And, you know, that's the next research question is what's going on with these birds that we are transferring? And all we need to know is, are they surviving to the next breeding season?
That's the thing.
That's what we need to know. And you know, we normally trap these birds in December and January and move them up. And so if they really don't have to live that long to make it to that breeding season. But that's another study kit that could easily be done as soon as, you know, we get a little bit more conservation capacity here.
Okay, Jimmy, thanks much. I'll let you go. Now you're up against a time element as well. Again, one more time, Jimmy, on the brood survey. Where can they find it? And what do they do? Go.
Yeah, it's on the brood survey. You just go to New Jersey Fish and Wildlife, click on wildlife, click on game species. You'll see the wild turkey page, and right at the top, it'll say wild turkey brood sighting survey. Once you do it once, just save it in your bookmarks. It takes literally under 60 seconds to mark when you see a hen and poults. Or if you just see a hen, that's valuable also.
Okay, Jimmy Stone, thanks for joining us. Hunting season is just about here, guy. Well, what are your plans? Real fast, what are your plans? If you get a chance to hunt.
Well, you know, I actually just fished yesterday for bluefin tuna. We did pretty good. So I'm actually getting ready. I got my cell cameras out. I got my blocks out. And I'll switch over to corn here shortly. But, you know, I love hunting Mercer County.
Oh, Mercer, that's the heart of the state, man. That rules. That's the best of all four worlds in the state. Yes, there are four parts of the state. People say, oh, there's North Jersey, South Jersey, Central Jersey. There's North Jersey, South Jersey, Central Jersey, and Coastal Jersey. Parkway East. Jimmy, that's a whole different world, man. And you got some turkeys running around there. They're the size of fucking tanks. Down here by Deal Lake. Whoa. You ever see those?
Yeah.
Monsters.
Unfortunately for us sportsmen, they're off limits.
Jimmy, you take care. Have a great season. We'll see you this fall, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Thomas. See you later.
See you, brother. Again, njfishandwildlife.com. Go to the hunting link. Go to the turkey link. It is right there. I'm going to report them. And say it all helps. Listen to me. I hate computers after all these decades. I still can't deal with them. Even I get it. Do it. It's going to help in the long run. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, there's been a trend reversal at the office. Fewer workers want their company speaking out about politics. Hear how some are managing. Also, grammar nerds are arguing about how to use the apostrophe when writing Kamala Harris's last name. Plus, more schools roll out programs for mental health and why the world isn't actually going to hell in a handbasket. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
The Community Food Bank of New Jersey is the state's largest anti-hunger organization. We work with our 800-plus community partners to supply them with the fresh food and resources they need to feed our hungry neighbors. We provide nutrition. We provide support. We provide opportunity. We can't do it without you. Join us. Go to cfbnj.org to donate today. That's cfbnj.org.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, that'll do it for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Man, more than halfway through August. Oh, time is flying. Hey, get out there and enjoy, man. Patriot Lake, Oak Pond, a bunch of waters. The Channel Catzillas are out there. Yeah, anyway, we have the fluke bite picked up with some gnarly weather, I guess, coming in Sunday, whatever. But just get out there and enjoy, please. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. You're not promised tomorrow. So get out and do it. See you next weekend. Rack and Fin Radio.